This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Testies, testing, 1, 2, 3. Ha! Would you ever argue a case in front of the Supreme Court? What do you have to do? Apparently, there's very, very few people in the country who are even qualified to get up there and wage that argument. Hey, listen to this. Despite not being gagged, out of respect for Judge Mershon and the prosecutors, I will cease posting anything about Donald Trump. That's what Michael Cohen just put up on X, Twitter, right? He's been making his whole living for the past 6 years. 6 years. You know, this stuff is going on for 6 years. Even longer, the allegations that are being raised, some of them go back to 2015 about stuff that may or may not have happened in 2006, 2005, 2004. Statute of limitations, or when I was a kid, I called it the statue of limitations, is a thing, and we need it. You know why? Because, well, you can't defend yourself. And also, it's very difficult to prosecute. People die. People change their minds. People forget. Stuff goes away. Stuff is destroyed. You gotta have that statute. This is in violation of all of that stuff. James Flippin, in your opinion, is New York on the edge of its seat with all this stuff, or is this kind of ho hum? I'm talking about the Trump trial, and give me a gauge how much you think people are noticing and looking and are worried about the anti-Jewish attacks that we see all over the place.
Well, I think that the level of intrigue and the level of interest in the trial for the non-disclosure agreement is pretty minimal. I don't think there's a lot of people paying attention to that, because it couldn't be any more established and dyed in the wool the way people either feel or don't feel about Trump at this point. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody who's on the fence about Donald Trump anymore. It doesn't exist.
Well, I don't know about that, actually. You're seeing people who are coming forward. Now, these are prominent people, so maybe they're not representing, like Michael Rappaport just said a couple of days ago, and he hates Trump, remember, for years.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I hate this guy so bad. And he said, look, I don't like what's going on. People are getting into the country so easier to get in the country than it is to go through the airport. I don't like Jews under attack. I don't like any of this stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, voting for Trump is on the table.
That's a good Rappaport. I have to just say that I like that Michael Rappaport impression. Yeah, I mean, look, I do think that there's some people who maybe are willing to kind of hold their nose and not vote for Biden, let's say, if you're talking about people in New York. And I think I told you a couple months ago, there was a guy I was sitting next to on the train talking to somebody of his on the phone saying, I'm worried about the Israel stuff for Biden. I think that's a vulnerability.
This guy Ackman, the big billionaire who is hates woke. He's very, very smart. He's a billionaire. He went to Harvard. He's young. Apparently, I didn't realize this. He's a big Democrat, but he can't stand the woke stuff. And apparently he's given money to Democrats. Guess what? Guess what he just said? Voting for Trump is on the table. So that's where I'm saying, like, I don't know if everybody, maybe, you know, I know what you mean. It feels like everybody, what else do you need to know?
Right.
There are people out there who are looking at the conditions. They may not like Trump, but they don't like this, and they don't like the culture right now. And Trump, for all of his whatever, if you don't like that stuff, personally, I don't mind it. I actually dig it. I love the tweets. I love breaking the norms. I didn't like any of that stale stuff. I like the directness. I like the candor. But if you are still taken with, ooh, we have to be so gentlemanly.
Yeah.
If you're all, do you like what's, do you think that there should be drag time story hour, and you know, led by our state attorney general?
Right.
Do you feel comfortable when Joe Biden says he's got the back of every transgender kid in America? Do you feel comfortable when Joe Biden says, I think all of the people in Central and South America should surge the border? Because that's who we are. We welcome people from elsewhere. Do we, I mean, are you cool with any of this? Most people aren't.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and you saw that Trump, before going to court downtown, he stopped at that construction site near here, and the people there, the construction workers, were happy to see him, chanting USA and saying, this is great to see the guy. You know, we love this guy.
Well, I mean, we always knew these guys, right? I mean, who the hell do you think this guy was ever going to vote for? Where is he? Where's my favorite guy? Play that.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
Love it.
Love it. Somehow I doubt that if, assuming the guy's a member of the union, I'm sure his leadership is not voting the same way.
What do you mean by that?
It just seems like all the unions.
No. Let me see. Here's the boss, I think, of the Steamfitters Union. His name is Bob Bartels. And cut 26, please. Cut 26. Diego, if you don't mind, cut 26.
It was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue-collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We are living it every day in New York City.
Well said, Bob. Really? So you get to revise your stuff about how everybody's got their mind made up, including the unions and everything, huh?
I guess I shouldn't be so judgmental.
Well, maybe you're not seeing straight. What the hell is – oh, wait. Here comes Trump right now. He just gave a wave and a fist pump. He's going back into court. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I'm liking his lawyers more and more. Blanche, there's a guy named Emile Bove, who's very, very good. There's that snake Matt Colangelo sauntering in. I don't like that guy. Oh, man. What's up with your eyes? You got pink eye or something?
Yeah, I've got these really bad allergies right now, and it's...
It looks a little bit contagious, and it looks like, I mean, this is like stay-at-home type material.
I assure you it's not contagious.
It looks like pink eye. You got like these big red circles around your eye, both eyes.
Yeah, I know. It's not great. I should not have stopped taking the steroid that I got from the Minute Clinic that I got.
Steroids?
Yeah, I figured out, it was this prednisone, and it kind of took the swelling down, I was okay.
Aren't you supposed to get muscles or something? I mean, you don't have...
Not that kind of steroid, unfortunately.
I thought that's what steroids do, right?
But there's different kind of steroids. I think you're talking about anabolic steroids, or like sometimes people take human growth hormone or testosterone or something like that.
And what did you take?
Prednisone.
Ooh. That sounds gross. That sounds...
It's not so exciting.
It sounds like something I saw on TV.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Prednisone. Yeah. Ask your doctor.
I'm not being a responsible adult because I really need to go see an allergist, because this has now been happening a couple years. In the fall, it used to happen, is when these eyes thing would... Never in the spring. Now it's in the spring
so
and
this
the fall.
Is the thing. Well, you got to do one or two things. You got to go home or get some sunglasses. All right? You got to wear some sunglasses. You can't...
I knew you were going to say that. I could have set my watch to you saying that.
It's
unsettling.
Yeah, we got an issue here. There's one other thing. I can't believe it's happened again. Poor guy, but it's like now it's funny. Rudy Giuliani has been indicted again, I think in two different jurisdictions last night, Michigan and Arizona, for alleged election interference. It is a total crap case.
I'd be curious to get your take on all that, because they talk so much about these fake electors. But if you're challenging a ballot result, don't you have to have those electors in place just in case it goes that way?
Look, alternative electors, right, is what we call them.
Yeah.
Are submitted every single election. Every single election. They got this parliamentarian who works in the Congress, and that person's been there for a bunch of years. And I know for a fact that these alternate electors are submitted all the time. Now, whether or not they get certified, that's the thing. You don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Maybe. So this is called politics. And you're allowed to, the whole idea. One of the big things that Trump is in trouble for is urging Mike Pence to throw these these electoral votes back to the states before voting on, before certifying them. And they're saying that that is, that was illegal. How could that be illegal? Well, the Constitution says this. Well, we got the brightest people in the country, allegedly, on the Supreme Court. They'll look at the same law and see the opposite. 5 will see it this way. 4 will see it the other way. I mean, it's not cut and dried.
No,
it's not. It's so. And I like this analogy. Imagine if a bunch of terrorists broke into the capital of Harrisburg? Is that the capital of Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
And held all of the lawmakers hostage, right? And somehow they did this quietly. Or they went to their families' homes and held all of their kids hostage. And they let them know, you guys don't vote this way. You vote for Trump, or we're going to kill your family. And they all vote for Biden to appeal, right? And let's say the vice president finds out about that at the last minute. Is he still going to certify those votes? So that's the same thing. Not that extreme, but if these votes were assembled in a corrupt or illegal manner, are you going to certify them? That's the problem.
Right.
That's the issue. And I think we can have these disagreements. Yeah, I mean, it's politics.
That procedure exists for a reason, right?
Yeah, it's in the Constitution.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have the vice president certify them.
And they changed the law. They try to change the law so the vice president can't do that anymore, which by changing the law, it kind of confirms that previously he had that ability. A lot of dirty, rotten people out there, liars, and I am just so glad that we are not beholden to them. You're beholden to them to a little bit. You put yourself in a little bit of box, right? What is it with you and the fake news? How do you come to terms with the fake news? I know what it is. You care a lot about what those people think of you, the reporters, right? A little bit. Or your other friends in the fake news, they really care what other fake news people think about them.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. I think that my approach to the whole thing is that I do feel like people who work in quote-unquote news are supposed to be umpires that kind of try to call balls and strikes and say, you know, this person says this person says that, you guys figure it out for yourselves. And that's why, you know, I was reached out to by a former colleague who said, stop calling it the hush money trial. And I thought about it and I said, you know, it's a delicate balance because you want the listener to know what you're talking about when you say there's this trial going on and people know what that means. But I've started saying non-disclosure agreement or hush money trial.
Your friend was right. The hush money thing has a very negative connotation. It's a non-disclosure agreement. And oh, boy. Yeah, they're getting off, by the way, running the Stormy Daniels tape all over again. And they're able to read it out loud in court and they're having a blast. I can't believe it. They're just mad about 2016 still. Kavanaugh was right. This is all about, hey, did you see what they're saying about Netanyahu? This is Nancy Pelosi, that dingbat. Listen to this. This is a time of war. Netanyahu is leading Israel. Cut 28.
We reject the policy and the practice of Netanyahu. Terrible. What could be worse than what he has done in response? First of all, the exposure. See, his intelligence person resigned. He should resign.
You should resign. Retire. Go away once and for all. How long has it been? How much money can you make? How many yachts can you water ski behind, Nancy? It's too much. It's too much. And Netanyahu is fantastic on all of this stuff. And this is leadership. You know, Joe Biden has been cracking jokes, basically, literally, kind of giggling about what we're going through right now. Big smile on his face, caressing AOC. Holding hands with AOC. Man, this guy said he would stop touching women. He hasn't. And children. Listen to Netanyahu here. Cut 29.
On America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally. We have to stop anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It always precedes larger conflagrations that engulf the entire world.
He's a million times smarter than Joe Biden. I think he knows America so much better than Joe Biden. You know, He lived here. He lived in Pennsylvania. I think he went to high school in Pennsylvania. I think he actually worked at a furniture store in New Jersey. And then he went to MIT. Very bright guy. What's the rest of your day like?
Well, I did have one thing I wanted to ask you from like a fake news perspective, your opinion on covering things. What's the best way to try to draw the line between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism? People who are truly opposed to like the policy decisions of Israel versus people who really have a problem with Jewish people. Because it seems like that line is pretty blurry on college campuses right now. But
I think they kind of run together. Anti-Zionism, which is basically anti the state of Israel, right? You don't think Israel should exist. Those people are invariably anti-Semitic.
You think so?
Invariably. Yeah, they are. They hate Jewish people, period. And there is this beautiful bond between Jews and evangelical Christians, and I love it. They get each other, and there are people out there who understand it more than I do. But anyway, yeah, that stumped you about the fake news? They're all terrible. What else? Give me one more.
Let's see. So you know about everything that's going on with this Gilgo Beach case, that now they're trying to expand that and looking at a wooded area in the off the LIE. I mean, do you still have any intrigue with that case? I mean, do you think that there's something?
I mean, we know who did it. We know who did it. We know Rex Hoyerman did it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the detail. Well, we don't know. No, I mean, it's possible, right?
I mean, look, you said that. I know. No. Everything's Simpson question.
And I want, you know, a presumption of innocence. It looks bad. Oh, I'm sorry. We are late. Rex, if you're listening, change the station. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Mrs. Kelly has entered the studio.
Yes, I have.
Huh? One more. Do I hear you?
Yes, I have.
So let me ask you something. You don't have a building pass. You don't have a WABC pass that I know of. Yet you get right into the inner sanctum fairly easily at all, wherever I happen to be, you can just show up like that without warning. Oh, by the way, number one, how do you gain access to office buildings and the like when you're not on any list? I love to see you. Don't get me wrong. But
I just do that motion of, you know who I am, you know, to the security. I'm like, and they go, and then I let in.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. You know who I am.
There are people, to get somebody in here who I, you know, have an appointment with, it takes a lot of logistics and, you know, ID and address and social security number and everything like that. And here you are, my wife.
I just look very trustworthy, and I think people really have a lot of sympathy for me.
Oh, you mean because of me? Oh, that's a below the belt thing. All right. Anyway, well, how's the baby? How are the babies?
They're terrific. We're exhausted. They're terrific. Right.
Thank you, honey.
Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Uh-oh, breaking news. Breaking news. Wow. All right, are you ready? From the trial, we just heard this. In 2017, when Donald Trump was president, David Pecker had dinner with him at the White House. That's the breaking news. Everyone's jumping up and down. And they had a meeting in the Oval Office where Jared Kushner was and Sean Spicer and the president and David Pecker, who was the publisher of the National Enquirer, the one newspaper magazine in the entire country that wanted to give Donald Trump a break, that wanted to highlight nice stories about him and highlight bad stories about his enemies. What's the big deal? Everybody in the media universe was doing that for Democrats, for Hillary, for Joe Biden. And this is breaking news. Man, you know what? Everybody's entitled to a break, don't you think? That is wild. Oh, what's the other thing? What is the other thing? They're all harping on this. You may have heard the eyes and ears. David Pecker was the eyes and ears of the Trump campaign, right? Eyes and ears. Do you have the eyes and ears? Eyes and ears.
Pecker says he agreed to serve as the eyes and ears for rumors that could hurt Mr. Trump.
He said Trump and Cohen and Pecker had this in-person August 2015 meeting where they agreed that Pecker would be the eyes and ears of Trump's 2016 campaign.
David Pecker came up with a, I'll be your eyes and ears.
Oh, my God. How dare David Pecker do such a thing? What does he think he is, the FBI? What does he think he is, the CIA? Those guys were doing that. And you know what they would do? They would look for nasty stories about Joe Biden and Hillary and go tell people like the New York Times, like Twitter, like Facebook. And how do I know this? Well, I know it from Mark Zuckerberg himself. Mark Zuckerberg said on the biggest podcast in the country, the Joe Rogan Show, exactly what happened. The FBI told him all about the laptop. Watch out for that laptop. It's from Russia. Got 37.
A criminal. There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York
Post.
Yeah,
we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
Basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
Be vigilant because it might be from Russia. Well, the FBI already had the laptop and they knew it was legitimate. You know what you could do? You could put a dollar amount on all of that help and assistance that the FBI, that the CIA, that whole of government gave to Joe Biden. Put a dollar amount on that. And that's what Joe Biden owes his own campaign. The campaign should be paying for this stuff. And that would be a campaign finance violation. And since we're making such a big deal about campaign finance violations, usually it's just a civil matter. Usually it's just a fine. If that, well, why don't we make it a criminal federal case? What the hell? Everybody's doing it. Actually, that is actually criminal activity. The FBI just no, but we're going to pick on this poor guy from the National Enquirer and try to get him to say and repeat every embarrassing thing he may or may not know about Donald Trump. Is that fair? Hey, there's something else here. They bring up the Access Hollywood tape in this trial. The Access Hollywood tape happened in 2005, right, with Billy Bush on that bus. 10 years later is when this meeting took place at Trump Tower, and they said, hey, we're going to try to help you out here. Why would that be relevant? In what world is that relevant? I want to say something about the Access Hollywood tape. They totally mischaracterize it. They say after it came out, Donald Trump went into full damage control and immediately said it was locker room talk and that Bill Clinton was much worse. Well, actually, he didn't say that. His first, what he first did was actually apologize. It's one of the only times that he did apologize. He did it out loud. He didn't say anything about locker room talk. So the Access Hollywood tape drops. And Donald Trump made a very special announcement, and it sounds, here it is, cut 38.
I've never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize.
Right? He didn't say locker room talk. They didn't say anything about locker room talk, and then the prosecutor said that. Now, the locker room talk came up in the debate, a debate that Donald Trump crushed Hillary in. You ready? You remember? Cut 39.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
That's about 48 hours after that Access Hollywood tape dropped. Huh? Guy was unshakable. The guy's special. The guy's special. It's amazing. These are amazing times. Don't you agree, Barbara? Hello.
I do. I do. Hearing that apology that you played again by President Trump, that just, I mean, what magnificent character to have the courage and the self-confidence and to know that that was the right thing to do. It just takes my breath away. And it reminds me of something I was thinking about when I called today, when we see the pictures of Trump sitting in court and we know what a magnificent communicator that man is. And yet they're trying to do just what the left has been wanting to do, to silence him completely. These judges are doing it. Reminds me of George Washington's message to us. He said, if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
That was a George Washington statement?
Yes.
Sheep to the slaughter. Boy, I thought that was like Moses or something like that. Wow.
No, that was George Washington. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to slaughter this president in every way they can. And they're hoping that by silencing him as much as they can, they'll do that. What they don't know is that he now has thousands, millions of people who will speak out for him, because we've seen him for 4 years. We've seen the man he is. We've seen the leader that he is, the communicator and the president that he is. So he's making a mockery, basically, of them silencing him by saying what he has said so far. And if he can't say it anymore, others will say it for him.
Well, that's beautiful. Do me a favor. Send me that tweet, because I may be talking to somebody we both know later on today. It's a possibility, and I'd like to reference that. Okay? Would you do that for me?
That would be wonderful. I have another great quote I found that applies to these students who are out there. Mayor Giuliani had posted a video of two young women who had no idea why they were out protesting at Columbia.
Yeah, I'm so
no
idea. Pathetic. So, yeah.
Yes. So Samuel Johnson, who is the most distinguished man of letters in English history, he died back in 1784, but he's a famous moralist and essayist. He said about ignorance something that is so applicable right now. He said, ignorance, when it is voluntary, is criminal. And he may be properly charged with evil who refused to learn how he might prevent evil. And that's what these students are doing.
When did that guy die? 17 what?
1784.
Can you imagine being alive back then? I mean, aren't we grateful we're alive mm-hmm. now? Air conditioning, heating, airplanes, you know? I mean, just, oh, I would not have done well back then. The mosquitoes, the bugs, you know, I mean, my God. And how did they go to war? I've been watching this stuff on, quite frankly, on Fox Nation about the Revolutionary War. And what's his name? Who's that great actor? We all love him. Frasier. You know, Frasier. What's that guy's name? Frasier. Anybody know? Kelsey Grammer. He's the narrator. And he also kind of pops up every now and then. But I'm wondering how the enemy and how the Americans found the enemy, and how you know what I mean? Like at night and stuff like that. And it's just, wow. Anyway, this is a much better time to be alive. Although in some ways it's a crummy time to be alive, but we're going to make the best of it. Thank you, Barbara. Rudy is standing by, newly indicted, and that breaks my heart. As we get ready for him, Jacqueline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Greg. I'm good. And I hope you are as well. I have, you know, before I get into what I want to say, just one quick thing.
You got to get right into it. I'm sorry. We got Rudy chomping at the bit here.
The confidentiality case, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was Chris Christie, He is like a scorned woman. He's bitter that he didn't get a cabinet position in President Trump's administration. So that's all I have to say about him.
And so is Michael Cohen, for that matter. Michael Cohen was left in New York. Anybody notice that? He was left in New York. They didn't take him because he's Michael Cohen, and they only wanted to use him for certain things. Jacqueline, thank you very, very much. I'll be right back with Rudy.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, once again, Rudy Giuliani, my colleague here at WABC. Such an honor to know you, and you're a friend and a work colleague. How are you, Mr. Mayor?
I'm really good, Greg, and you're terrific.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, I always knew, I had a feeling we'd be friends back when I was in high school watching you as a U.S. attorney. I'm like,
funny?
That guy is awesome.
And I did with Yogi Berra.
So, Mr. Mayor, well, a couple of things. I can't believe it's not even the first question I want to ask you. You get indicted in Arizona and Michigan, and I don't even
Michigan
care.
Michigan, too.
I think it was Michigan, right?
Good.
Was it Michigan? I'm telling you. This is.
Am I going to miss a Democratic state?
This is. It's just an amazing life that you have. These things can come at you, and it's almost like these would ruin most people. Just bring them to tears. Drop them, and you, it's just like, eh, you know, here you are, right?
I expected it. I mean, I expect. In fact, I'm going to wonder about the ones that don't. I mean, the Democratic states that don't indict me. They are playing out exactly, if you have any common sense, what happens in a Soviet country, an authoritarian country. You beat the opposition down. You try to imprison the candidate and destroy all of his supporters. And that's how you win an election. That's what Maduro is doing. When Maduro promised Biden a free and fair election, the first thing he did was imprison his opponent. Mm. And Biden didn't shake an eye, you know, didn't bite an eyelash. Now he's going after all of the guys. This is somebody read this book somewhere, and they're playing it out. It's called communism, Nazism, fascism. I mean, it's totally ridiculous that I went to Arizona, I think once. I spent the entire day with the legislature. I explained to them what I had. I didn't think they were going to go forward with it, actually. And then all of a sudden, they got big demonstrations by Republican grassroots people, basically saying, we're going to throw you the hell out of office unless you do something about this. Mm. And they initiated on their own. And then they came back to me for help. I knew we had impressed Pennsylvania. I knew we had impressed Michigan. I knew we had impressed Georgia the most, particularly with Burt Jones, now the lieutenant governor, and a couple of the others. They were really hot. But Arizona, we had a couple of really hot people, but for some reason, the establishment considered them the way out people. Mm. Like Carrie Lake. She was considered one of the way out people.
No, I don't understand why they say that about her. She's amazing. Hey,
she wasn't, by the way. You know, that's their problem.
No, right. What about, you know, who's the most self-righteous guy in the world? And I'm sorry, folks, you probably won't remember him, but I remember him. Rusty Bowers. He was the speaker of the assembly there. Yeah, in Arizona. And he's a fake news favorite because, well, you know.
That'll be part of the testimony against me if he makes it to the trial. He, and we have a trial. He will testify that I said, I have no evidence, just theories. Now, this is like 2 months into it. I had already been to three other places presenting evidence. Why in God's name would I tell him I have no evidence when I have carrying three suitcases filled with evidence? And even if I had no evidence, what lawyer would go tell you you have no evidence?
Well,
he made it up. He just made it up out of his either demented mind or his Trump hatred.
What about this? I mean, when you sue
just
somebody.
Just a liar.
Can I ask you this? When you sue somebody, it's like, somebody did me wrong, and I'm going to sue you. And then you got to get a lawyer, and you got to gather evidence. Right.
Correct.
You know that you were wronged, and you know that there's probably evidence out there. I'm actually saying not having evidence at the get-go doesn't mean.
No,
like,
that's true. No, no, yeah. No. You have to have leads. And, you know, and I'll say the truth. In an election case, the standard is even less because they happen so quickly and you have such a short period of time. So the courts allow you to use, right out of the cases, more speculation, more expert witnesses, more extrapolation. So, for example, you hear, oh, he said there were 6,000 dead people that voted.
Mm.
Well, there was a report that said that.
Hey, can I
ask? It may turn out to be 3,000.
I want to come back to the case here in Manhattan, and you're the perfect guy to ask. Judge Mershon happens to have gone to Hofstra Law School. You went to NYU, which is one of the top law schools in the country. Hofstra's fine, but it's not in the top 10. I don't think it's in the top 25. It's not considered a top-tier law school. Sorry, but it's true. Donald Trump's lawyers, I just want to ask you this. How much of a factor is that for a judge? And, you know, there are a lot of Ivy Leaguers in the room, including Donald Trump. I feel like
there's a lot of animosity and silly. And let's go beyond them. Let's talk about the legal profession in general.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous amount of snobbiness and animosity about, did you go to Harvard? If you didn't go to Harvard, did you at least go to, let's say, we'll pick another one, University of Michigan, which is a very, very good law school. Tom Dewey went there. Or did you go to, I won't pick one, but, you know, one of the bottom tier one. Hofstra would not be the bottom tier. Hofstra would be a little plus middle. Fordham better. I mean, you'd rather, harder to get into Fordham than, let's say, then let's say Hofstra.
How about Indianapolis Upstairs College of Law, where Mike Pence went?
I don't think so.
To Indianapolis Upstairs College of Law.
Only thing I can tell you is, if I haven't heard about it, it's probably not one of the top ones. Because I used to be in charge of hiring U.S. attorneys and assisting U.S. attorneys. So at one time, I was very familiar with these law schools. They've switched a bit, but not much.
Those SOBs, by the way, and you hired some great people. And they're still telling stories about, whoa, the days I was with U.S. attorney.
Or they won't
step
up and help me.
They won't step up and help you. And that's what drives me crazy. And there's that one guy, that Italian guy, handsome guy. I think I resent him more than the others. I'm going to find out his name. But
John Savarese?
Yes, him. Who's Savarese?
John was the number three guy on the commission case, along with Andy McCarthy.
Well, now he's a woke liberal, and he won't lift a finger.
Well, he might have always been. I was never as close to him as I was to Mike Chertoff. Mike was the number two guy on the case, and he's the one he was my partner on the case. We put it together, and then John came in to help us. And Mike was the first assistant U.S. attorney I hired. I'll tell you, like Randy Mastro, who's going to become the corporation counsel. I hired him as an assistant U.S. attorney. I gave him the Teamsters case, which was one of the biggest. I hired him as a chief of staff, hired him as a deputy mayor, and for the longest time played golf with him every Saturday. And I can't remember the last time he called me.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that he took this job. Apparently, he's bored and he wants back in the action. Hey, the trial downtown continues. Pecker is still on the stand. All these little, you know, embarrassing details, if they're true, if they're not. I think that this is the prosecution is enjoying this. They also have nothing else to do. So let's dirty him up as much as possible right now.
This is like going to the hairdressers and gossiping.
Going to the hairdressers.
Yeah, or for the men, the barbershop, I guess. Where they had the dirty books out and everybody would gossip.
Did you ever think we'd come to this trial thing? Well, forget that for a moment. How do you think this stuff is going at the Supreme Court with the immunity?
I think it's going to be a split decision. Happy to take a split decision because it puts the case off. I think they're going to give him partial immunity. They're going to not give him complete immunity. I was very disappointed in the lawyers when the lawyers asked for complete immunity, but then I started thinking I might have done the same thing. Sometimes you ask for too much, so you can lose. There are so many cases the New York Times thinks I lost that I won. Like, the Thousand Men March, they wanted 24 blocks of Harlem. I said, you can't have any. They got four. Times writes, Giuliani loses. Giuliani has a celebration.
But you really won. Oh, you're good. Hey, listen, I have to turn everything over to you. But before we go, Sandra, I believe, wants to say hello to both of us. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Clay. I just wanted to say that last night my sister and I were texting each other, and we wished that you were one of Trump's attorneys, and Rudy, too. We love you both, and I mean, you're doing such a great job, even though you're not there. I just
They took me out on purpose.
They took him out on purpose.
I win the first impeachment, you know, and beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, they wanted to neutralize this guy. Thank you, Sandra. I actually very proud. I did a video last night and went through this transcript. the case is so beatable, winnable, crummy, terrible, what they've done, and they reveal themselves. So, Mr. Giuliani, once again, a huge honor.
Of course.
Hey, be careful when you show up at these protests. You.
Oh, yeah. But the next time I'm going to tell you about a little trip to the brother Ted. You see the great footage Ted got with the girl? She was from Fordham, that kid.
Next time, though,
I don't know what it's about.
I want you in a disguise.
I was.
A disguise.
I was, but they figured me out.